Hello there, I'm Coach Claire Ackers, ex-employee turned business owner and coach. I'm the founder of Adesse and the creator of Audacity, the 8-step proven program to transform your entrepreneurial journey and become the kind of leader you want to be. I am 100% focused on working with values-driven leaders and entrepreneurs just like you, on their authenticity and mindset, so they can think big and live extraordinary lives. You're listening to the Adesse Audacity podcast. It features interviews with inspiring, authentic leaders, my best leadership coaching tips, and advice from industry experts on how to grow and scale a values-led company. So, maybe you're an entrepreneur or business leader of a fast-growing company who's excited to scale but wants to do it in the right way. Or maybe you're an aspiring leader looking for some inspiration. Wherever you are in your journey, if you're values-led and purpose-driven, you're in the right place. Ready? Let's go. Today, I'm delighted to be sitting here with Claire Morley-Jones, who is the gaffer at HR180, and we're sitting in a beautiful jungle-themed boardroom. Claire, thanks for having me over.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to this.
Wonderful. So, why don't you kick us off by telling us who you are and how you got to be where you are today, if you
that
would.
That means I have to actually remember.
If you would, yes.
So, I have always been in HR. I did my degree in human resources, and then I was really fortunate to work in the professional services industry. Still in HR, but law firms are a very unique environment. And so I learned an awful lot, and I did genuinely love it. But I also knew that I wasn't really suited to corporate life. I've never been much of a person that just says yes. And I've never been comfortable delivering things that I'm not confident in. So I jacked everything in, went travelling for a year. And whilst I was lying on a beach in Thailand, and my husband and I were thinking about what do we want to do when we get back, we would have been at the grand old age of about 24, I think. Like, oh dear, we're so old.
Existential crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I look back on it now and think, oh dearie me. But we're lying on a beach in Thailand and thinking about what we wanted to do. And it was at that point that I came up with the concept for HR180. And it's because I'd worked for the an Investors in People team, and I'd gone out around Leicestershire helping people to achieve Investors in People, and working with really dynamic business owners who did want the best for their staff, but just didn't know how to implement it. And I'd absolutely loved that, and I'd loved the businesses that I'd worked with, and wanted to then deliver something like that, but actual outsourced HR. When we came home, there was nobody doing outsourced HR in this way. It was all kind of like an advice line. So you would ring an advisor, they would talk you through what to do with the situation, but you would still have to do it, and you would still have to write the letters. And it was all kind of crisis management rather than fun stuff.
Sounds quite negative.
Well, yeah, because it's very reactionary. It's not actually about gearing up your business for success. It's about protecting yourself against risk when something's gone wrong, really, or just before it's about to go wrong. And so I thought, well, I've got all this corporate experience. It would be of really good use to SMEs who wouldn't be able to afford it. I know I'm going to set up an HR180. So I did that from the back bedroom of a two-bedroom cottage in 2006. Isabel, who's still with the business today, joined us just after we'd moved from that back bedroom into the master bedroom, which John and I had given up. And then we've kind of gone through various premises until we bought this office last year. And now we're in the beautiful Wetherby, working with some amazing clients who all have ambitious growth plans.
What are your top tips for someone who is serious about growing an authentic, values-led, emotionally intelligent company?
Number one would be to at least think about it. yeah, think about it. Think about who you are, because many of our businesses, whilst we would encourage a collaborative approach to designing these things, at the end of the day, the business is centered around the efforts and energies of that one individual who decided to create it. Mm. So who are you, and know that, and what do you ultimately see as the vision for this business and the people who are in it? Mm. And what is your North Star? You know, what are you
yes.
what's your guiding point? What are you yes. working towards? And so that would be number one. Number two, to think really carefully again about you. So most entrepreneurs are thinking about, well, who's my audience? Who's my, you know, where's my market? Where's my investment? You know, all these types of things. But actually, again, coming back to you, what are you good at? What are your strengths? And also, what are your weaknesses? Not because I'm going to make you fix them, but because you need to build a really strong team around you ultimately. Yes, it's going to be you doing everything to start with, but ultimately, you're going to need to build a really strong team around you.
Yes.
And so you're going to need people that complement you.
And that's not agreeing with you, is it? That's
no, no, normally the opposite. but also, so to give you an example, I've mentioned the website and the fact that I have the attention span of an app. For some things I do, and then other things I can be very, very detail orientated, running a big investigation, for example. Mm. But I do have lots and lots of ideas, and I lose track of them all, and I want to start them all, and I love starting them all. That's amazing, and I love getting everybody on board with it and bringing them on side and selling the vision of what it's ultimately going to look like. And then halfway through that project, I'm like, okay, I'm really bored with it now because this beautiful little gold thing over here has taken my interest. And so I have to have somebody in the team, and in fact, I have several, who can take each of those ideas at whatever point I've dropped them.
Well, now you do it.
Not quite like that, but make them the most beautiful reality that I would never have been able to achieve. So they might not necessarily have ever been able to have the idea, but then they know exactly how to execute it
yes.
and deliver it, and they don't get bored, you know, in the final stages, and they actually do push it over the line, and it's out there. And so that requires a lot of knowing you and who you are. So that would be number two. Number three would be thinking about the environment. So that your people are operating in. So there's more workplaces. There's more. That's terrible grammar. There are more workplaces that do think in a little bit more detail, rather than just literally desks and laptops and monitors and, oh, look, this developer's going to have two screens. Wow, that's amazing. Actually, that's pretty standard. Mm. And are thinking more about, is there a sofa here, and where can people get coffee? And just making sure that the environment is nice and has a lick of paint, and it makes people feel valued from the moment that they enter it. I think that's quite an important one. In terms of number four, you definitely need to, unfortunately, have processes and understand what HR is. Because if you want to grow a sustainable business that's ambitious and has goals that it wants to achieve, you're going to need people in some way, shape or form to deliver it until they can make robots who do exactly what humans do. Mm. Then you're definitely going to need people of some description with their unique set of skills and circumstances to deliver it. Mm-hmm. Then number I've completely forgotten the point. Yeah, but what was I trying to say? I have no clue.
Well, let me ask you a question about that point four, if that's okay, before we move on. Then might come back to you. So, at what stage of a company's scaling do HR challenges start? Can people expect them from the time that they first hire the first employee? Is there kind of like a magic number when the wheels start to fall off? You mentioned 14 before, where it really, you know, challenges started to come up.
Yeah. It's a shame that we talk about challenges with individuals, because if your hiring is right and if your culture is right, then they're less likely to crop up. But obviously there will always be the one unique case. It's really difficult to say with certainty, but the magic number, if there is an absolute magic number, I guess would be 10. Because at that point, whoever started the business is going to be doing all their own finance still, all their own marketing still, all their own new business development still, all their team management still, and probably still managing some kind of workload in uh-huh. terms of servicing clients or customers in some way, and using the skill that they had to set up the business. Mm. So all the other things are kind of extra stuff that they've had to learn and get to grips with really quickly. And at that point, they have that one person that goes sick or has anxiety or depression or, says, I don't want to work here anymore. And they're thinking, oh, but I've just put you on this account. And I, you know, now I've got to tell the customer that they don't have you. And it's at that point that it all starts to get a bit too much, and where they end up spending more time researching the answer or trying to source the answer from friends and family, and perhaps not getting an accurate answer. Mm.
Googling at midnight.
Absolutely. And trying to watch a video, you know, from maybe another HR consultancy that says in 30 seconds how you deliver a disciplinary. Well, if you really think that 22 years worth of HR experience can really be delivered to you on a platter in 30 seconds of a video, unfortunately it can't. It'd be good if it could, but it can't. And it's at that point it just gets a little bit too much. And they want some support with the challenges that they're facing. And sometimes the challenges are really positive challenges. So it's the fact that they've just now won. They've had a model before where people were working on an associate basis, for example, rather than actual employees of the company. They've just won a massive contract. They want to be able to take employees on, but they're worried about the risk of that and how it's going to work. So the challenges don't always have to be negative. Sometimes they can be positive, but it does, once you've started to get to a turnover that requires 10 people to deliver it, then it's usually at that stage that you would be looking for some extra support,
which is obviously positive in itself, isn't it, because you have grown a company to a size where you need that support.
Yeah,
but that's the beauty of having employees, isn't it? Is that they are wonderful individuals, and you can't put a process in place for
the uniqueness that they bring. And that is a benefit, and also occasionally a detriment, particularly where you don't have a process, or you don't understand what you're meant to do next. And they're throwing things at you all the time, and maybe you don't relate to them in the same way as you relate to your first employee.
Yeah, and it's that one step removed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm working with a CEO at the moment who has had a shocker of a few months. Every single, think of the wildest personal circumstance you can think of that an employee might throw at you, and they've had this challenge after challenge after challenge, and it's harming the business. Mm. Because it's taking up so much time and energy, and you can't plan for it, and it's really, really tough.
Yeah, and you have enough of those without there being employee, employee challenges as well. You know, whether that is a client that's unhappy with a particular thing, or whether that is an insurance company that want a million pieces of paperwork in order to be able to insure you, or, you know, you're organising an overdraft or trying to get a mortgage for a building, you know, whatever it is, there are enough challenges already and enough things to make you feel as though you're spread very thinly across the ground. And managing your people and getting to grips with how you can engage with them better and bring them on a journey with you shouldn't necessarily have to be one of those.
What's the most common mistake you see? Say you're brought in, your services are brought into a company and having an initial kickoff meeting or discovery meeting or whatever you call it in HR world.
Yeah.
What's the, without giving any trade secrets away or betraying any confidences, what's a common mistake you see?
Leaving it too late.
Until it's in a real pickle.
A real pickle, but late in terms of culture as well, for example. Okay. So by the time you have 40 people, and you have no clue who you are as an organisation, and you haven't really ever looked at terms and conditions. You used to work for one of the big corporates, and you nicked, as it were, that template for your contracts, and you've never realised that you're giving everybody 18 paid days territorial army leave, or, you know, 6 months half pay, and then another 3 months quarter pay, or whatever your old terms were. And then you have that person that's gone on long-term sick and you're thinking, no, well, I won't pay them. A bit late. It's already in the contract that you will. Can't just take that away, I'm afraid. And so, yeah, I think it would definitely be leaving it too late, either burying your head in the sand and pretending that particular situations don't exist, or not doing anything HR-related until you have a larger group of people. And then it's a larger group of people that you're having to consult with and collaborate with in terms of how you reorganise the internal processes and the internal benefits and all those kinds of things. And
get your foundations right.
Yes, yeah, it really is. Get your foundations right. But I'm sure everybody says that. Every marketeer will say that. Every financial person will say that.
Well, Claire, I'm glad you said that. That's exactly what we're covering in this.
I mean, it's true, isn't it? And you can't spend money on everything. I mean, one of my biggest regrets is that we didn't spend any money on our branding to start with. And the website was lovingly handcrafted by me at between midnight and 2 a.m.
But that's the fun bit, isn't it? When you're kind of getting a bit scrappy and just getting something out there.
Yeah, that's true. But I think with your people, that is more difficult. So yes, we did okay with the branding that we had. I mean, I love what we've got now, but we did okay with what we had at the time. But you definitely cannot scrimp on the people side, because you literally halt any progress. Anytime you get it wrong with an employee, you halt the progress of your business. So yeah, if we had amazing branding, we might have had more growth. Who knows? But actually, if I didn't have people to deliver that growth, I would have been stuffed anyway. I was going to say a rude word then.
I think rude words are fine for our audience.
Okay.
Don't mind a bit of effing and jeffing.
I just swapped it for stuffed. So yeah, if anyone's like, oh, dearie me, that's a weird word.
What advice would you give aspiring entrepreneurs from an HR perspective?
Think carefully. From an HR perspective, okay, well.
Or any life, you know, you've run a successful business for what, 14 years? Very, very quick maths.
Yeah, well done you.
Pretty sharp.
Last Thursday, 14 years it was. Aspiring entrepreneurs, what would be my advice?
Apart from biscuit training, obviously.
Apart from biscuit training, yeah. And making sure that you have all kinds of refreshments available for people that might visit you. I think it would be that I see either of two circumstances. One, no planning and literally just go and rush into it headlong. Or the opposite, which is 6 months to a year's worth of planning and no actual achievement of anything.
There's got to be a balance, hasn't there?
Yeah, there's a healthy balance between both of those. So to somebody aspiring, it would be to try and find that balance. You know, everybody says, oh, you must have a business plan. Well, does your business plan have to be 30 pages long and include a marketing plan, et cetera, et cetera? Can you? Yes, you should know your direction of travel. And yes, you should have some objectives that you are working towards and goals that you're working towards when you know, so that you clearly know when you've hit them and what has driven the success to be able to achieve them.
Yes.
So it's a halfway house. Those are the two biggest things, I think.
Yeah. You can overplan, can't you? And then, get paralysed and not actually do anything.
Yeah.
I think there's a very strong case for taking action, have a look, recalibrate.
Yeah.
Are we still going in the right direction? No, let's keep on improving.
Yeah. I think the only other one would be don't hire in your own image.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with your image.
Well, I'm quite sure the team might disagree on a few things there. But like I said, that comes back to the original thing of knowing yourself and knowing what your strengths are.
Yeah.
And then not seeing your weaknesses, which are other people's strengths, as having no value. Actually, they have an incredible amount of value. And making sure that you have and growing and building a team that is diverse, the values are the same. Don't get me wrong. Every single person's room, the values will be the same. I don't lie. You know, for example, I take responsibility for when I've messed up. Those things that are inherent in people will be the same across the board. But, you know, one will have a really weird, quirky sense of humour and love Star Trek and, you know, be really amazing at process. And then somebody else will not even have ever heard of Star Trek. And have a conventional sense of humour and love dancing in the middle of the office and, you know, will be more of that blue sky creative thinker maybe. And you need a mix of all of them. You need a mix of everybody. As long as the values are the same and you can all travel in the same direction comfortably together, that's the kind of the most important thing.
I'm growing a select community of people like you. Values-led, authentic entrepreneurs and leaders who are hell-bent on having extraordinary impact with their business. In this community, you can expect support, inspiration, and advice from people who know exactly what you're going through. Why don't you join us? Search for Audacity from Odessa on Facebook and come on in.